561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen at Orange Park at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be discussing an issue today that I believe is imperative for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, and yea, even every individual listening, understand where we are in our prophetic world today. Multitudes, even as Christians, say, well, why study prophecy? What's the purpose of that? What does prophecy do? What does prophecy say? It's the word prophetess. It's talking about what God has said in His Scripture, in the Word of God, that we should look forward to an anticipation as to what God will be doing in the last of the last days in this old world. God's Word said it. That settles it. Whether we understand it or not, we need to embrace it and recognize it's coming from God. God is sovereign. God is in control. Man is volitional. Man has sovereign. Man has free will. But that free will is left to man. But God's sovereignty is overshadowing and is embracing all of the events that we as human beings do and the way the world is carried out because God is in control. And so, ladies and gentlemen, because God is sovereign, God's in control, He has pre-written history for us. Listen, what's happening today doesn't surprise God. What will happen tomorrow will not surprise God. What happened yesterday did not surprise God. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today an issue that I believe we need to understand. Biblical prophecy and the red heifer, H-E-I-F-E-R, heifer, red cow, young cow. Now, that's the latter portion of this broadcast today because I like to do what I call an inverted pyramid with the larger information trickling down to the focal point of what we're talking about. So if you're interested in, you're concerned about, you know anything about the red heifer, best place in the Bible to find it is in Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. Entire chapter is about that. So if you've studied that, you understand that, love to have you call today. If you don't understand it, but you've heard about it, you've heard some mythological things about it, love to hear what you've heard, what you think, why you think it's important. But first of all, as we get into the subject today, the issue of prophecy and the red heifer, we're going to be talking about some of the things, that the signs that we see in the Scripture that bring us to the point of the emphasis being on the red heifer. So ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on biblical authority. It's not based on political rhetoric. It's not based on denominational dogma, but based on biblical authority. The Scripture, the Word of God, is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We ought not to be afraid of it. We ought not to be in wonderment. Now listen, when I say that, that does not connote by any stretch of the imagination that I'm coming to you on this microphone and saying to you that I understand everything in the Scripture. But listen. Everything in the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, I believe whether I understand it fully or not. God said it, and that settles it. I tell people I even believe where it's inscribed on the inside of my Bible cover where it says genuine leather. I believe it. Sometimes that ain't true, but anyway, that makes the point. I believe that it's the Bible is true from cover to cover. And we base our authority based on what the Bible says for what we speak about each and every day on this broadcast on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I call it the truth book, the Word of God. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to be very important in the hearts and the lives of every listener, every individual, even today. Multitudes will pick up the Bible occasionally and read it, verse 2, chapter 2. Many Christians believe that they've arrived if they can quote John 3:16 in five languages. There are a number of people today that believe that you can read a verse or two here and there and get the picture of what God is saying. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this little biblical truth in as a parenthetical footnote for us today. The verse and chapter divisions in your Bible and in mine, God didn't put them there. Put there so that lazy readers would read the scripture. But don't you dare read a verse or two and stop. For example, most know John 3:16, but they don't know what John 3:17 says. They don't have any idea what John 3:36 says. Do not have any idea who Nicodemus is. That's because John 3:1-36 is the totality of that unit of thought. So let me encourage you to study the Bible, read the Word, the truth book. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I challenge you with that each and every day, because we need to stick to the truth of what the Word of God says, not what man thinks, says, or what some denominational dogma may teach. It is the truth. However, as you perhaps have heard me say before, truth is not indulged today. Truth is not embraced today. Truth is not listened to today. It was the secularist George Orwell made this statement: the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that is precisely what we see taking place today. Whether you're speaking about doctrinal, theological, biblical issues, whether you're speaking about political, governmental issues, or speaking about the home or the church or the family, all of those, as you've heard me say before in the intro to this broadcast, remind you, God created three institutions: the home, government, and the church, and in that order. And anything that we discuss in those three categories literally covers the completeness of the Word of God, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:20. It covers it all. And so let me urge us to understand the full truth of the Word of God, because truth matters. Truth is important. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, we go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus makes this statement: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you're determined to do that. I find it disingenuous for anybody, whether it be a pastor, preacher, teacher, Christian, or politicians, or whoever may be in any leadership role, whether they want to take a half-truth and present that as fact. I tell people, and perhaps you've heard me say before, half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have the millennials today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group. The millennials have an unusual sense of what is truth, an unusual idea of what is truth. The mindset is, with the millennials, that each and every person has their own understanding, definition of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as a different understanding of truth. Truth is truth. It stands on its own. We need to understand and recognize what the Word of God is telling us, embrace it as the truth book, be obedient to what it says, and serve Him with gladness and realizing that we are living in the last of the last days in this old world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, with a full line of generators, ladies and gentlemen, made by Honda. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows 24/7 Old Glory, the U.S. flag. The Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, right now is looking for, seeking to employ, hire house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. Tools for Time is a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff a 2-for-time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by 2-for-time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of 2-for-time. 2-for-time.com. 2-for-time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, we're going to open our lines and invite you to call. Our subject today, we're talking about the issue, biblical prophecy and the red heifer. What is biblical prophecy? What do you know about prophecy? What are some of the things that you know that the Bible says is going to take place in the last of the last days? We're living in the last of the last days. What are some of those things? Most Christians can name one or two or a few. Most Christians can talk about some of the things and say, well, you know, we're living in the last days. What I usually try to do is encourage and motivate an individual believer, individual church member, Christian church, those that say they're saved especially, to recognize where to find text in the Bible that will validate what you're saying in relationship to prophetic text in particular. If we understand prophetic text, understand the scripture that God tells us what's going to happen in the last days. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 37, God talked about the Valley of Dry Bones, and the prophecy in the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37, was prophesying the future date and time when Israel will be reconstituted and become a nation. That happened in, ladies and gentlemen, 1948, May 15th, the dry bones came together and the nation became reconstituted as a nation. The only time in history that any nation, after being in dispersion and having disappeared for 2,500 years, became reconstituted as a nation. Why? Because God did it and God's word said it before it took place. And ladies and gentlemen, God's word says in Ezekiel 38:39, there's going to be the major cataclysmic event that will take place leading into the Battle of Armageddon. It's the war with Russia, Russia leading five nations, the Islamically controlled jihadist nations that will be coming against the nation of Israel. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 40, verses chapter 40 through chapter 44, talks about the rebuilding of the temple, which will be the third temple to be rebuilt in Israel. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get into this more detail later, but it will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount where today stands an Islamic mosque. Now, there's some well-meaning theologians and church scholars, Christian scholars, that say that the new temple can be built right beside the temple mosque. No, it won't. It cannot, will not. God will not allow it. So how is it going to happen? We'll talk about that a lot of part of this broadcast today. But let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, biblical prophecy every day. You may not recognize it, you may not see it, you may not understand it, but all of the news media, ladies and gentlemen, radio, television, newsprint, tell us something about biblical prophecy without even recognizing the impact of what they're saying. Right now, we're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, today, we're witnessing more events, more focus on the land of Israel than in history. Listen. Today, more than ever, the land of Israel is the very focus of prophecy. Yes, it should excite. I don't know whether how you feel about it, but I get excited about hearing the name Israel, Jerusalem, or the Jewish people, or Tel Aviv, being mentioned on radio, television, and the newsprint. Simply because I understand what God is doing. I see what God is saying. I see that the very focus, just as in Zechariah chapter 12, it talks about in the final days, the end times, every nation will be focused on that little postage stamp called Israel. And we see that taking place today. Today we see some of the things that's happening that leads to the very point that I want to make today. We see morals and ethics and values simply disappearing. We see abortion, the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. We see transgenderism. We see euthanasia. We see that which is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, destroying life. God's word says we need to choose life, not death. We witness the battle of life with most seeming to embrace death by way of abortion, the infant being murdered in the mother's womb. Euthanasia, where the elderly now today are being dispatched, put out of the way. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but I was talking to my wife very recently about the fact that it seems that we're more and more living in a culture where both ends of the spectrum, that baby in the mother's womb that cannot defend itself, being murdered even up to the date of birth. We see today old people being murdered by euthanasia with the mindset that we need to get those two factors out of the way in America. And we find that proliferating in a number of other nations, Canada and other nations around the globe, that are putting to death those that are infirmed, those that have disabilities, those that have mobile issues, those that are middle-aged or older in particular, being dispersed, dispatched. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing these things. They're all part and parcel of what we see in the last days. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the last days we would witness famine and earthquakes and diseases, war, rumors of wars, and diverse places. Just look at Russia. Look at North Korea. Look at China. Look at Ukraine. Look at Iraq, which is old Persia, ladies and gentlemen, and Iran. Look at what's happening globally. We see millions of deaths and ethnic groups in battle. What you do not see on the news is on the continent of Africa, where millions of Christians are being destroyed, churches burned, heads cut off, lives being taken, human sacrifices being made by burning an individual to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all part and parcel of God's prophetic text warning us, telling us, reminding us of what will take place in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on this. Then we'll open our lines and enter into the depth of the discussion about prophecy and the red heifer. I'm looking at a headline that says, Biden funded both sides of growing Israeli-Iran face-off. The Biden administration has been a major benefactor for Israel and Iran, two countries that have launched direct attacks against each other in recent months. Ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes, when our president, the President of the United States of America, through his emissaries, negotiated trying to get a peace settlement or a delay in the battle against Hamas, behind the scenes, he was working both sides of the aisle, so to speak. He was working against Israel with the jihadists. He was working for Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, if we would be honest with ourselves, that's treasonous. Treasonous. Ladies and gentlemen, it was when the UN Council voted, America could have vetoed the vote, but it voted to chide, to challenge, to discipline the nation of Israel for defending itself. Now, why is this so important in the big picture of prophetic text? It is simply because Israel is becoming more and more in the focus and in light and in the light of last day's prophecy. Just a few years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, rarely would you hear the name Israel or the Jewish people or Jerusalem being mentioned on national and international news. It's become almost daily today. And ladies and gentlemen, when you study Matthew chapter 24 and 25, you find that the scripture gives us sign after sign after sign of what would happen in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. We need to sit up and take notice and understand what God is saying, what God is doing, and what tomorrow, next week, next month, next year may hold as a result of that. So ladies and gentlemen, today we're witnessing and watching the increase in the battle against Christians and churches. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. John Blow, you are so straight on. But it's not really Biden. I think this is the third term for Barack Obama. I really do.
Well, you're exactly right. Biden, listen very carefully. I want our listeners to understand, I'm not making fun of, I'm not diminishing, I am not in any way laughing at Biden's condition. It is serious. It is a matter of physicality that he cannot carry out. He cannot cope. He cannot understand. He is cognitively depleted, and they're using him as a puppet. He is the puppet, and Barack Obama is the puppeteer behind the scenes with a socialist Marxist agenda to totally destroy the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. That's the picture. That's the summary of it. And in part and parcel of this, we're watching America turn our backs on Israel. And the Bible says that every nation that blesses Jerusalem, blesses the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, will be blessed of the Lord. And every nation that curses or stands against, if you put it in the vernacular today, stands against Israel, that God is going to curse, God is going to come against, and God is going to destroy them. I am frightened personally, Kenneth, to see where we are as our nation, as we're in a position where we're witnessing, we're watching our nation through our leadership coming against, turning our backs on the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. But Kenneth, one of the things we're talking about today is prophecy and the red heifer. Tell me what you see. What you see. If I were to ask you, Kenneth, name me three things, four things, five things that you see happening in the world that are prophetic signs of the last days. What would you say? How would you answer that?
I'll tell you what, Dr. Youngblood, you're going to have the tree huggers and the animal activists once Israel, because they're going to get it, because they're going to make the temple. But once one of those spray rockets hit the Dome of the Rock, and Israel be able to, I know they're going to blame it on Israel, maybe our president, I still call Trump president, they're going to blame it on him, they're going to blame it on Israel.
Well, brother, I'm excited about that. I look forward to that day. In fact, literally, as Christians, we should be excited about the thing that we see taking place. Even though it's horrible, it is horrific, it is sad to see Jewish people being persecuted, prosecuted, threatened, and put to death in the nation of Israel. But, Kenneth, one of the things that is also a sign of the end times, prophetically speaking, we're witnessing and watching the world stand up and shake its fist at the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. You realize right here in Jacksonville, just just several days ago, we had 7,000 meeting in one of the Coliseums here in the city. I've forgotten exactly which one. 7,000 of the Islamic jihadists. Now, many of them, you might say, well, they're peaceful people. They're not coming against. Listen, you can study the Quran, and I've said for many, 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 many years in the study of the Quran, the one that is the major one that the Islamics use is called the Noble Quran. And I said this for many, many years. An Islamic comes into the city, the state, the nation, and if they are truthful to Allah, if they are faithful in reading and studying the Quran, they are potential jihadists in waiting, ready, angry with the people that are non-Islamic, that is the Jews and the Christians, waiting and angry, and they are motivated and mandated and pushed by the Quran. In fact, most people are not aware of the fact that on 9/11, it had a FBI congressional search and investigation, and in that CIA finding, they said, and I quote, they asked the question, what caused them, those 19 that flew airplanes into the buildings and things around America, what caused that to take place? And the end result was, in that congressional finding, says the Quran, the book that they read. Now, that's frightening. And yet, multitudes of Americans do not realize that, do not understand that's the cause and effect of what is taking place. But, Kenneth, I get excited, as you said, when we see these things taking place, because as we watch them happening, we realize the time is winding down. The clock is ticking. We're at 1 minute before midnight. And one day, and I believe very, very soon, we're going to watch this clock wrap it up as far as the universe is concerned, as far as God's Word is concerned. What say you?
Yes, I tell you the truth. And their president, he's not doing anything about the culture. He's not doing anything to help the Jewish students.
None.
On these campuses and are protesting, and some of them are even not in the university, out of college.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. In fact, I watched on the early morning news where Biden was walking someplace. It was outside. He had his Polaroid shades on. And they asked him the question about what is taking place. And he said two or three very simplistic statements, and I'll paraphrase. He said that he wanted everybody to know that the Jewish people need to be protected, but he also wanted people to understand that the Palestinians need to be recognized. There's no such ethnic group as Palestinians, but that's what he's calling them. And what he's doing, Kenneth, by saying that, he's bolstering the Palestinian jihadist. He's bolstering the Arabic jihadist mindset that they need to come against the Jewish people. It's frightening to me, at the same time excited, when we see what's happening on our campuses, where you can see places like Harvard and Yale and Dartmouth and Brown University and New York University and Columbia University, et cetera, where they're putting out these airheads that have been brainwashed and indoctrinated to believe that America is bad, that Israel is bad, and they say even destroy or kill the Jew and destroy America. And that's the mindset. That's a demonic mindset, Kenneth.
Yes, and on top of that, it's like Black Lives Matter and the young ladies that started it, they even said they was training it to Marxism.
The three that started Black Lives Matter, by the way, they've come out like bandits. They live and own gigantic houses, several millions of dollars each, and hundreds of millions of dollars disappeared. It didn't help any black life other than the three black ladies that said that they were highly trained Marxists that started the Black Lives Matter, and yet millions of dollars poured into it by businesses doing that simply to buy off protection things. They did that. Kenneth, listen, thank you so much for your call. You're on target with it. We need to keep praying. I get excited every day when I see these things taking place, especially as what is happening in Israel. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes. Thank God I'm alive for this time, because it's coming to pass.
Yes, it's on the way. Kenneth, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking about biblical prophecy and the red heifer. Biblical prophecy and the red heifer. Getting to the point of talking about the red heifer to tie up the loose ends today on this broadcast, you might be asking yourself the question, where does the Bible talk about a red heifer? You might want to be reading that text, 22 verses in Numbers chapter 19. We'll be talking about it in a minute because it's the bow tie, if you will, on the big picture of biblical prophecy of what is taking place. I believe the red heifer factor, and we'll talk about it in a moment, is the last factor. It's putting the ribbon on the package to wrap up what we're talking about in prophecy in these last days. But ladies and gentlemen, getting to that point, let me introduce this thought. I'm looking at headlines that says the nation's largest Christian college fights back after Biden education secretary vows to target the school and shut them down. Let me just summarize. I'll read a first word or two and then summarize. Grand Canyon University, the world's largest Christian college, noting now the world's largest Christian college, is fighting back at the educational secretary who vowed to target the school. The educational secretary promised to crack down on such schools, invoking an example of how his agency has already done so, fining the Colorado University, that is the Grand Canyon University, nearly $38 million last year. You know what they did? The Grand Canyon College, you know what their fault is, according to the Department of Education? They don't charge their students any tuition. It's a free education program. But every student has to work doing some task, doing some requirement to earn his tuition. And so now the U.S. Department of Education is calculating what they do and how they do, and then trying to set a minimum wage on it, saying that they are not telling the truth to the students, they're lying to the students, et cetera, et cetera. And listen, some colleges have done things that are openly deceitful, not Grand Canyon University, but some have done that. The highest fine that the U.S. Department of Education has ever charged any university in America was $2.4 million. And now they have fined Grand Canyon University $38 million, and they are vowing to shut it down. We're watching what I call a very prima facie evidence, ladies and gentlemen, of targeting Christians, conservatives, and patriots, and a fight back at anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. They've got to remove the Christian factor in America in order to allow the moral, ethical decay and the rot to take place in our nation. And that's what we see around the globe. Well, there are no morals, no ethics, no values, where life is worthless. And as a result of that, you see the euthanasia, you see the infanticide that takes place through the murder of the elderly and of the babe in the womb. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize where we are today in biblical prophecy. We're on the fast track for watching this old universe wrap up And as we look at the latter portion of this broadcast today, we'll be talking about how the red heifer fits into the broad picture of prophecy and why we need to be concerned about it and recognize it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we're coming back and continue our thought today on biblical prophecy and the red heifer. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville.